The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Just then, a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said to him, what is written in the law? What do you read there? He answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you've given the right answer. Do this and you will live. But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend. Which of the three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? He said, the one who showed him mercy. Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We know that the whole law of God hangs on just one commandment, love. Love God, love your neighbor. We read that in Deuteronomy today. The word of God is very near you, and by the word it means God's command, which is love. It's in your mouth and in your heart for you to observe. And what that means in part is that we already know basically what is right and what is good, and we practice it instinctively with the people we love. A parent will give her life or her child without a second thought. A husband or a wife will stay by the side of the person that they love no matter what. We do everything we can for our mothers and our fathers when they're old and in need of help without a second thought. We know these things in our hearts. And the lawyer in the gospel understood that. He understood that the law of Moses could be summed up in that one great command to love. Jesus commended him for his answer. But then, just to make sure he had all his boxes checked, the lawyer had a follow-up question. I know the command is fulfilled by loving God and my neighbor, he said. So, tell me, who exactly is my neighbor? Was a very lawyerly question. He was looking for definition, some boundaries, some restrictions on who he did and did not have to love. We have to love all people who follow God, all people who live good lives, or at least try to live good lives, all the citizens of our town, of our state, of our nation. But as he so often did, Jesus didn't give a direct answer. He did what he usually did. He told a story. A story about a man who was attacked by robbers and left for dead along the side of the road, and about the three men that came along the same road and saw him lying there. The first two men were a priest and a Levite, and I think we can assume that those men were basically good men, that they knew how to be loving people. When they were at home, when they were in their own community, we can be pretty sure that they treated their family and their good friends with care. compassion. But when the priest saw the man lying in his own blood in the roadside, he didn't react as he would have if it had been his father, if it had been his child lying there. He didn't look at that suffering man and see a person who needed him. He didn't look at him in love. He looked at a suffering human being and he saw just those kind of rules and boundaries that the lawyer was looking for. He saw a body lying in a pool of its own blood and he remembered the laws about avoiding contact with a dead person to avoid becoming unclean, because who knew if that man was still alive? He saw a person who might have been a Gentile, in which case just touching him would have made the priest unclean. The priest and the Levite were men whose whole lives had been dedicated to upholding the perfect law of God, who sought to keep themselves pure by everything they ate and drank and did. Much better, they thought, much better they should cross over to the other side of the road and not risk becoming unclean and unable to perform their ritual duties to God, because serving God, after all, was their highest duty. The first commandment is to love God, and the command to love one's neighbor, that comes after. But just consider now, and this is taking a little bit of liberty with Jesus' story, but just imagine if the priest or the Levite were walking down that road and they saw their own little child lying still by the side of the road, badly hurt, maybe dead. Consider what he would have done then. Can we have any doubt that he would have run as fast as he could to his child's side, that he would have taken the child in his arms without a second thought? Is there any doubt that he would have carried his child to the nearest village, crying out for help as he ran? Is there any doubt at all? We know that, because what would we have done if it was our child, our grandchild, our brother, our good friend, our mother, lying on the side of the road? God's law of love is as near to us as our mouth, as our very heart. Every human being knows what it is to love. We know how to love. Even people who have serious psychological or mental problems, maybe because of illness, maybe because of trauma, even they know what it is to love, even if it might be love for a dog or a cat. The ability to love, the need to love, it's part of our human DNA. It's part of the image of God in which we were made. But as powerful a force as human love is, and it is very powerful, our natural human love is fatally limited by our inability to love outside of boundaries. We all love our family, even if they drive us crazy sometimes. We love our friends. We love the people we worship with, for the most part. We love our neighbors, at least our good neighbors who don't play loud music at night, who don't neglect their children or abuse their pets, who keep their lawn mowed, take care of their trash. We love our pets sometimes more than we love our neighbors. Love comes naturally to us human beings, but our human love doesn't stretch very far at all before we start setting some reasonable limitations for it. And that's how love can be as near as our own hearts and at the same time entirely alien to us. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said to the people, "You know what they say, love your friends and hate your enemies, but I say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. That's how you act like children of your Father in heaven. He shines his sun down on the evil and the good. He sends his rain down on the crops of the good people and on the crops of the bad people, too. If you only love the people who love you, what good is that to you? Even scoundrels do that much." When the lawyer asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" he was asking Jesus to set the boundaries for him. Okay, tell me, who is technically my neighbor? Everybody in my family, everybody in my synagogue, everybody in my village, the whole nation of Israel, that's getting pretty extensive, but I imagine the lawyer was willing to stretch that far in his definition of neighbor. He had no idea how big a love Jesus was talking about. Infinitely big. This past Friday evening, there were candlelight vigils all across the country, calling for the end of immigration policies that are holding hundreds or thousands of men and women and children and tiny babies in concrete cages like animals. Being a neighbor means hearing the cries of those people as you would hear the cry of your own brother, your own sister. It means seeing little children in cages as you would see your precious grandbabies. And that does not come naturally to us. And it will be much more painful than a nice, comfortable sort of sympathy that we can satisfy by sending a check and saying a prayer. The story of the Good Samaritan has become so familiar to us that it's easy to miss how offensive it is, how radical. We use the phrase Good Samaritan to refer to the people who do a good deed. Something like carrying somebody's groceries out to the car for them. Somebody who returns a lost wallet. But for the Good Samaritan in the story, being a neighbor meant having compassion on a complete stranger. Setting aside his own business, washing the stranger's wounds, carrying him to a safe place, spending whatever was needed so he would be well cared for. Being a neighbor costs us. It costs us time. It costs us money. It costs us freedom. It costs us comfort. It costs us financially as well as emotionally. Being a neighbor means entering much riskier territory than most people ever realize, because it means breaking out of all those tidy, careful little boundaries of our natural human affections, family and friend. Being a neighbor means daring to love and to treasure every single human being with the unbounded love of God. But the point of the story is not that we're supposed to go home and try to work ourselves up to feeling the same about a homeless man as we do about our own father, or feeling the same about a migrant child as we do about our grandbaby, or worse, to pretend that we feel the same. Jesus told this story for the same purpose as all of these stories. He told it so we would understand the heart of the Father. We thought God was like the priest and the Levite, holy, perfect, distant, clean, too busy to be bothered with the likes of us, much less a bunch of dirty migrant kids. But it turns out, Jesus tells us, the Father is like that Samaritan guy. He's like the one who left everything behind to take a complete stranger in his arms, wounded, filthy, helpless, going out of his way to care for him, lavishing his riches on him. Jesus wants us to know what the Father is like because we are his children. And it is the true purpose of our lives to grow up to be like our dad, ready and willing to drop everything to care for the needs of the stranger and the orphan, because that's what he does. That's what he did. Because, of course, that's where we find ourselves in the story, isn't it? We are the stranger on the side of the road. He didn't pass by. It's no accident that Jesus made the hero of the story, that third man who ended up being the true neighbor. It's no accident Jesus made him a Samaritan, because that was an age-old enemy of any self-respecting Jew. G.K. Chesterton once wrote, "The Bible tells us to love our neighbors and also to love our enemies, probably because they are generally the same person," which I think is a great quote. When Jesus made the hero of his story a Samaritan, it was like making him a Russian during the days of the Cold War. It was like making the hero a Muslim in New York City right after 9/11. It was like making the hero of the story a black man in an all-white neighborhood in Alabama. Jesus was deliberately bending all the boundaries that lawyer might have had in mind, not as far from the natural, reasonable love of human beings as a gentle breeze is different from a Category 5 hurricane. God's love is exactly the kind of love that runs to embrace a bleeding enemy as if he were his own beloved flesh and blood. There's a worship song that goes, "Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it. I don't deserve it. Still, you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God." In the end, the main point of this story of the Good Samaritan, the story that we know so well, or think we know so well, is that Jesus turned the lawyer's whole question on its head. It was never a matter of setting rules for who qualifies to be our neighbor, Jesus said. It's a matter of whether or not we're being a neighbor, no matter who we come in contact with. There's no other. There's no enemy. There's only us being a neighbor or not. There's only us learning to love with the reckless love of our Father,